This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وكذلك أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان ولكن جعلناه نورا نهدي به من نشاء من عبادنا وإنك لتهدي إلى صراط مستقيم صراط الله الذي له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض ألا إلى الله تصير الأمور.
Backbiting. Woe to every kind of scandalmonger and backbiter.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to another episode of Purification of the Soul.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We were talking in the previous episode about backbiting and about some of the ways of curing ourselves from this evil disease of backbiting. And we mentioned firstly we mentioned the definition of backbiting. Who can remind us about the definition of backbiting, Muhammad?
Backbiting is when someone says something against a person which he does not like.
Exactly. And this is something that we need to repeat over and over again. To understand. And what's not the definition of backbiting? Kudros.
Not that it's said behind the person's back.
Yes, that's one misconception. People think that backbiting, or ghiba in Islam, is only impermissible if it's done behind the person's back.
But what if the person doesn't like that you say something good about him? Is that still regarded?
That's not backbiting. If it's something that's good about him, and it's well known, that everybody understands. So for example, you speak about a brother, and you say, yes, he's a very nice brother. Okay, he's very generous, kind. Maybe he feels that if someone speaks about me like this, it may change my intention. In that case, it's permissible to say that, but we should avoid saying it to the person's face when you're speaking good about someone. So that's not backbiting. So that's one misconception. Now, it should be noted that backbiting is allowed in certain situations, if the reasons why it's allowed cannot be achieved by any other way, and any other legal means. And Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, he mentioned this in his famous book Riyad al-Salihin, and in there he mentioned six different reasons for why it is permissible to backbite a person. The first of that is to complain of oppression. So it's permissible for the person who's been oppressed to present his case to the Muslim ruler or the Muslim judge or someone of similar authority to assist in removing the oppression. So obviously a person can't go and lie and speak because that would be slander. But we're talking about backbiting, in other words, mentioning your brother or your sister in Islam with something that they don't like. So one can do that in front of the Muslim ruler. So let's have an example of that, Muhammad.
What about if someone is trying to find the correct ruling on a certain issue?
Now let's look at an example of this case where you're going to a judge and you're asking a question. Why would you be allowed to backbite in that situation?
If that's the only means to achieve the full description of the person. So
that's one reason, yeah, to get a description of the person. Kuraz, another reason?
Because if a person withholds the information due to fearing backbiting, then the judge would not be able to come to a conclusion on all the facts available to him.
Yes, so let's take an example. I mean, what could a person say to the judge, for example, if someone hits him?
If someone hits him?
Yeah.
Well, he can say what exactly happened.
Exactly, that the person, by name, he can say Zaid or Bakr or Amr, he hit me. Mm. And therefore, this is allowed. It's a court, an Islamic court, of course. And this is allowed in front of the Muslim judge or Muslim ruler. The next reason is, when it's allowed to backbite, is to seek assistance in changing the evil and returning the person who's disobeying Allah to the right path. Okay, now there's a difference. What is the difference between this and the previous situation about the court? Good, Ross?
That between
the previous situation, we said it's allowed to go and to a qadi, a judge, a Muslim judge, and say so and so hit me. Okay, so in this situation, he's taking a right. He's trying to get back his right, okay, or remove the oppression. But in this situation, we said to seek assistance in changing an evil or a or someone who's disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's the difference?
That in the first one, he's reclaiming a right.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one, he's changing an evil. It's not against himself.
So let's have an example of how you do that. How do you change an evil? By backbiting.
For example, you might see a certain speaker or a sheikh. He's saying certain bad things, certain misguiding the people.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to mention to the people that what he's saying is wrong.
That's one. That's warning against the evil which was going to come. But it's not quite what we're talking about here. What we're talking about here is when a person, let's say I see somebody smoking. And as we know, in Islam, smoking is not permissible. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَّا التَّهْلُكَ. Don't let your own hands lead to killing yourself, into destruction. And of course, at the back of the cigarette packs, in many countries it says smoking kills. Okay, so this is a clear example of where a person is taking with his own hands, he's leading himself to destruction. So smoking is haram. So we saw somebody, let's say, who is smoking. And perhaps the person, maybe he won't listen to me. He doesn't know me, maybe. He may not listen to me. So it is permissible for me to go to somebody else who knows him and said, hey, you're a friend of that brother and I love him for the sake of Allah and he's a really nice guy, but he has one habit that we need to stop for the sake of Allah. Can you please advise him to stop smoking? Okay, this is a permissible form of backbiting because you're trying to change the evil. This is different from the court case scenario where you're trying to get your own right back. But here, this is one of Allah's rights, that you want to stop an evil. Okay, is that clear, the difference between that? The next point is to find out about a religious ruling on a matter. Again, this is slightly different. So for example, someone can go to a scholar and say to the scholar, look, what is the ruling on my, let's say, my father who doesn't give me enough money? Okay, and he can mention that ruling. Or what is the ruling? A wife can go and say, what is the ruling on my husband, because he doesn't give me so-and-so, he doesn't give my rights to me. This is an example. And so this is permissible by necessity. But it's safer in these cases, in this case in particular, that you would say something like, what do you say regarding a man or person or husband if this is his condition? Okay, so rather than mentioning his name, it's safer to mention just what about a person, general, being general. Safer to be general rather than specifically mentioned by name. So he can obtain his purpose without actually naming the person. Nonetheless, it's if you do mention a person's name, then this is permissible. And this is shown in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, who related that Hind, the wife of Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu majma'in, said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Sufyan is stingy, he's miserly, and he does not give me enough to suffice me and my children, unless I take something from his property without his knowledge. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, take enough to suffice you and your children according to what is usual, what is the norm. So you can see, where did she backbite in this case, Baha?
By telling the truth, by telling the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he's doing.
Which
what?
Is, he was being stingy.
Stingy, yes.
Yeah, he was being stingy or miserly.
Mm.
And so this is where she's backbitten. And she did it in front of whom? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there's a general rule in Islam that if something happens in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he does not agree with it, if it's something haram or something against Islam, then he has to speak against it. Here the Prophet ﷺ did not speak against what she did. So this shows in this situation it's allowed to backbite. How? By asking a fatwa. You're asking a fatwa, a religious verdict. Oh Shaykh, my husband doesn't give me enough money. Okay, so I take it without his knowledge. Normally this would be considered stealing. But in this situation, that you know, he's not giving enough money, and maybe she's starving or something like this. Not doesn't have enough food, enough clothing for her and her children. She's allowed to take enough. That suffices her according to the norm. And we better mention here a clause, because before I start getting complaints from some of the brothers that their wives are stealing money from them, there's a clause here, and that is that the husband doesn't give the enough money to the wife for the basic necessities. Food, basic clothing, not a huge wardrobe, but basic clothing, these kind of things. It's permissible to go to the qadi, for example, and ask, or to a scholar, what's the ruling on me taking this? The next point is to warn the Muslims from evil, and to advise them. Okay, and this can be done in a number of matters. It's not necessarily changing the evil, which is what we mentioned earlier on, but this is about warning people from the evil. So as to stop other people falling into what someone else is doing, or the dangers of something. And let's have some examples of this in hadith. What did the scholars of the past do in this situation?
Yes, they would mention about certain narrators that he lies, or he...
Yes, and this is very important. Okay, imagine, today we have hadith that we know are authentic, or they're not authentic, by the scholars. Now, how do we know that a hadith is not authentic? We look at a chain of narration. And the chain of narration means, I heard from so-and-so, who heard from so-and-so, who heard from so-and-so. This is called a chain of narration. Who heard from the Prophet ﷺ. Now, if one of these so-and-sos, one of these people in the chain, is a liar, then this hadith is weak. We don't accept this hadith. Okay, unless it comes from another source. In the same way, if a person, one of them has a very bad, weak memory, again, we don't accept his hadith. So, how do we know if the person's got, he's a liar, or he has a weak memory? The scholars of the past, they wrote books about this, looking at all the chains of narration and saying, so-and-so has a weak memory because I know him. Another person, he's a liar. Another person, he is not a person who has taqwa, and so on and so forth. So in this scenario, it would be allowed. After the break, we're going to go back into this point and look at how backbiting is allowed. Further examples of when backbiting is allowed. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum.
And people need each other's, need scholars more than they need to drink and eat. Because even regarding what we drink and eat, we may not be able to figure out which is permissible and which is not. Quran is not preserved in the books only. The seerah of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is not preserved in the books only, but in the hearts of men. In the hearts of people who have devoted their time to seeking knowledge. Belief and trust, tawakkul, that none could take place without the knowledge of Allah.
Welcome back. Before the break, we were talking about some of the times when it's permissible for a person to do backbiting. And the last thing we mentioned was that it's permissible to backbite if it is to warn the Muslims from evil and advise them against it. And we mentioned the first example of this is that of weak narrators of hadith. So it's permissible by consensus of the Muslims, or rather obligatory, to have a look at the chains of narration and to mention when a person is weak or when a person is strong. And this is what the scholars of hadith in the past did. The second example of this, warning the people about evil in a person, is when a person inquires about someone in certain situations. When are those situations? Gulraz, I'm sure you're aware of one of these situations.
Let's just say someone's get married.
Maybe. Yes.
Then he can inquire about that person.
So what? And okay, he can inquire then.
And then the person replying should give the honest answer, even if it means, on the face of it, it might be backbiting.
So what kind of things should he? What kind of things can he say? Let's see the example. So and so says to you, for example, just you know, hypothetically speaking, that he wants to marry his sister to you.
Yeah.
Or he wants to marry his sister to someone. What would you say to them?
Or you'd ask about certain defects in the character.
Okay. And what could they reply?
They can reply with those defects.
Such as?
Such as, I don't know, they lie, they hit, they're violent.
Kind of yeah, exactly. So that's one example of where we can inquire about someone. If someone inquires someone for marriage, it's permissible to speak about it. But the condition has to be that number one, obviously, is true, and number two, one has to be sincere in advising. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Ad-deenun nasiha," that this deen, this religion is nasiha or advice. What's another example of this?
What about if someone is studying under a person who indulges in innovation?
Yes.
And the person who's studying under him is unaware of this?
Uh-huh. That's right. So for example, if a person is going into, he's studying under someone who is known for innovation, then it's permissible to mention that and to warn him against that. What about if somebody was to go into business with someone? Mm-hmm. Would it be permissible to backbite in a certain scenario like that?
No.
What about if I want to know, I want to go into business with a brother. Mm. And I came to you, Gulraz, and I said that, you know, what's this guy's character like? Is he truthful? Is he honest? Is he trustworthy? And let's say he turns out to be very bad. He's not trustworthy. He steals. Is it allowed to say something in that scenario?
Yeah, it would be allowed because the person is asking for sincere advice. So you have to be sincere in your advice, even if it means... No, backbiting.
Yeah, in
person.
This particular situation, yeah. With the condition of sincerity and
truth.
That has to be truthful. That's right, absolutely. The same goes with safekeeping something with someone. So I'm you know, I've got a car and maybe I'm going away on holiday, so I leave it with somebody to look after. Likewise, moving in with someone. Okay, let's just say I'm moving in with someone. So it's allowed for me to backbite and say, hey, don't move in with that guy. Because he, you know, he does this and that, he maybe has a bad temper, he throws mobile phones out the window, or something ridiculous like that. Point is, we're allowed to mention that.
But about Sheikh, in these situations, is it a license to just say whatever you want about the person, or do you have to restrict yourself to...
That's a very, very good question. And in fact, Imam An-Nawawi, rahimahullah, mentions this after talking about where it's allowed to backbite. He actually mentions this point, that he says we're only allowed to speak about the shortcomings. We can't speak about something else. So if someone says, hey, can I? What do you think? I'm going to marry so-and-so. What do you think about her? And then maybe this person knows this girl or knows the family. He's allowed to say only that which concerns the person's character. He can't say, oh, you know, she's very ugly, for example. Okay? He can't say that. Because this is, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. That's to do with the husband, the one who's going to marry. But as for character issues, then yes, you can speak. As long as it concerns the marriage. It's also obligatory upon the one advising not to conceal this condition. But he has to instead mention the shortcomings that he has with the sole intention of advising him. And one of the hadiths, for this is Fatima bint Qais radiallahu anha. She said, I went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said to him, Abu Jaham and Muawiyah have both proposed to me for marriage. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Muawiyah is poor and has no money, no property, and Abu Jaham always keeps his stick on his back. In other words, he beats his wives a lot. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself advised against marrying both of them from the angle of the bad characteristics that they had. That is to do with marriage. Let's have a look at some comments from the people on the street.
Backbiting in general, it is not permissible. But I thought of a few like ways or like reasons for it. If you're trying to warn somebody about a bad characteristic in personality of another person, so like if you had a problem with a person, you don't want that problem to happen to a friend, tell that person the bad thing about the other. And I don't know, but generally you shouldn't. You shouldn't backbite a person, because like, if you're talking it in a religious way, Islamic way, it's haram.
I don't think that backbiting is ever permissible in any situation, because backbiting is just saying something bad about someone behind their back. And if it's against all morals and ethics and Islamic code of ethics and everything. So why would you do it? And besides, it makes people feel really bad about each other, and you just make enemies instead of making friends. If I'm protecting him, then I guess it's not backbiting after all. But if I'm just backbiting for the sake of just backbiting like it normally happens, then no, I won't do it.
Has some good comments there. To move on to, or go back to what we were talking about, the places where we can warn the Muslims against some kind of evil that a person has. Imam An-Nawi actually goes on to mention the third example of this, which is what you said earlier on, visiting or frequenting an innovator or a fasiq, a sinner. And he's taking knowledge from him. Now the condition here is that he must fear that this person may be affected by his innovation or sin. And then he could mention that condition. But if it's not, then no. If a person is studying, for example, Arabic grammar with a person who has a minor innovation, okay, and there's no fear, perhaps the person has enough knowledge to overcome this innovation, okay, then in that scenario, there's no need to backbite that person, the teacher. But in the condition where the person is a new student of knowledge, and even though he's studying Arabic grammar, but the person has an innovation that might affect this new student of knowledge, then it's permissible in that sense, in that case, to backbite this person simply to mention his fault. But Imam An-Nawi mentions a very important clause. He says, however, this is where people may err. The person who speaks of the individual could be envious of the one he is advising against, and shaitan may deceive him into thinking that he is advising sincerely. So it is important to be aware of this trap of shaitan. So very important, very important. Shaitan can come to a person and say, hey, look, that guy, he's an innovator, you need to backbite him. But in reality, the person is actually envious of him. So one has to be very, very careful and pray to Allah, make dua to Allah, that when he's speaking in this manner, that he's only doing it sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth example of this, warning Muslims from evil, is that one who has a responsibility does not carry it out. Okay, then it's allowed to backbite him. Now this could be because he's not fit for the job, or maybe he's corrupt, or because he's neglecting his duties, or something similar. It's obligatory to mention this to the one in authority, like the boss, so as to remove him and replace him with one who is more befitting. So he should make him aware of this condition so that he can be dealt with, and urge him to improve or be replaced with someone else. So this is a clear example. An example of this is, for example, somebody is, he has a job, he's not doing his job properly. It's allowed for a fellow employee or somebody else who's looking, say, look, your employee is not actually working. As soon as you go out of the room, he stops working, he doesn't do his work, or he's neglecting his work, these kind of things. The fifth reason when it's allowed to backbite is if there's someone who openly commits disobedience or innovation, like openly drinking alcohol, for example, or taking the property of others unlawfully, or taking taxes which are not legislated in Islam, or other such matters. This is all from Imam An-Nawi. He says, then in that case it is permissible to mention what he does publicly. It is not permissible, however, to mention other faults that he may have, except if there is another lawful reason to do so, as mentioned previously. So if somebody is openly sinning, he's openly listening to music, you're allowed to mention it, either in order to warn the Muslims against it, or something of that nature, if he's openly sinning. The sixth and final reason that Imam An-Nawi mentions, he said to describe someone. So if a man is known as the one who has weak eyes, or the lame one, or the deaf one, or the built, or the blind one, or the cross-eyed one, and other such similar terms, then it's permissible to describe him only for identification purposes.
What about if it's using a term that he does not like?
Even if it's using a term that he doesn't like. Okay, because that is backbiting. So he's saying this a lot, but on the condition that it's not done in a mocking way. So for example, let's just say there's somebody who's blind. And you're trying to describe him. You're trying to say, meet so-and-so in the marketplace. said, who is this guy? He's this, he's that, he's that. You tried your best to describe him. But he's known as the one who's blind. So then in that scenario, it's permissible for someone to say he's the blind one. Because you've tried all other ways to describe him. Okay?
So you have to try and avoid any... Try and avoid describing him in a derogatory manner.
Yes, you must not describe him in a derogatory manner. You must not, with that intention. But only if it's a characteristic that you can tell that this person is. So for example, if a person has one hand, but he always hides his hand, okay, in his sleeve, and nobody would know that he has one hand, then no, you can't use this description. Because the whole point of the description is something that's clear, that's apparent, okay, about the person's body shape or whatever, the short one, the tall one, like this. But on the condition that you're doing it for describing the person, and on the condition that you've exhausted other means of describing him. Now, it is unlawful, however, to mention these things as deficiencies. And if one can describe him in another way, as we said, that is actually better. Inshallah, in the next episode, we'll look at a disease which is related to backbiting, and that is namima, or tail carrying. And we'll talk about that in the next episode. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.